a legendary Bay Area band there, combined with a little longing for Tennessee. Hello and welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. There's a startup idea fomenting in Tennessee that has its roots in Silicon Valley. It's addressing Silicon Valley's progression in automation, but it's also a chance to show that computer coding as a skill can help return good-paying jobs to a middle class that's been losing those jobs for decades. It's called Code 10, as in Code TN, as in Tennessee. And Code 10's stated goal is no less than becoming the hub and hunting ground for employers who need computer coders and programmers. Here's our chat with Code 10.
I'm Caleb Fristo with the Great Schools Partnership, and I'm managing the project Code 10.
Yeah, let's talk about Code 10. Let's get a working definition.
Yeah, Code 10 is essentially a project that was started at a foundation here in Knoxville, Tennessee, and is essentially looking to integrate computer science deeper into the curriculum offerings at a county level here in Knox County. The project overall is not specific to Knox County, but where we operate and who we've partnered with originally has been Knox County Schools, but we're serving three different counties.
I'm looking at the codetn.org website. We want Tennessee to become the go-to place for talent recruitment in the field of software design. That's a lofty goal. And I have to say, there's another quote here that I really loved from you that was in the News Sentinel out of Knoxville. We want to develop strong local relationships and become the go-to place for talent recruitment in the field of software design starting here in Knoxville. When was that article and how have you progressed since that article?
Let's see, that came out about a year ago, and since then, we're in our third year now, and the whole kind of concept behind that was, you know, we have an institution here called ORNL, which is a government facility that works, is a part of the kind of national science institutions here, and they're doing a lot of academic research around computer science. We also have the University of Tennessee and a really robust community college here, Pellissippi State Community College, and our whole idea and really the idea behind that comment is to try to gather those folks together to utilize the resources we have and really kind of partner with businesses to try to promote a kind of hyper-localism, for kind of lack of a better term. And that means that we get training from professionals, educational institutions, and also businesses and private institutions to partner with us to get inside of the classrooms to make up for really the kind of, until now, the kind of lack of real world training and kind of demystification of what's going on with computer science at a middle, elementary, and high school level.
Yeah, that's a great word, demystification, because sometimes when you hear computer programming or when people hear computer programming, computer coding, they think of, you know, the geniuses that we all know about. You know, we think about the entrepreneurs who coded and launched things like, you know, Sergey and Larry down at Google, if you will. And not everybody needs to be that kind of person. I mean, every category or sector of workers has somebody at the top that does that. And, you know, you have these breakout geniuses, but a lot of it is coding can be just like a 9-to-5 job, right?
Sometimes we just need people to understand how the database works when you're trying to, you know, for instance, working at a nonprofit, right? I mean, I used to work at a nonprofit, and we had problems with people who didn't understand a kind of Salesforce backend. You know, there was essentially people having enough comprehensive knowledge to manage a very simple database. We're not even talking about coding. We're not even talking about really getting in and trying to script anything. We're just talking about a general framework for understanding how systems work. And that's what we're ultimately trying to communicate at a deeper philosophical level.
So even exposure to, say, data management, analytical dashboards, and that whole string of words right there already made me sound silly. But, you know, being able to see...
Very contemporary.
Right, but I mean, looking at a dashboard of data analysis, you know, or even traffic on a website, or where is your traffic coming from, where is it moving to, that kind of thing, you know, just exposure to that can demystify as well, is at least in my opinion. What are you seeing?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's not this kind of grand idea where everybody, and I loved kind of, and I'm not sure if Clive actually coined this word or not, but there's not this kind of Zuckerbergian impulse where everyone is going to go off. And I think that's part of kind of the misconception of what really computer science and even programming and development are. And I think if you talk to people in the Valley, you will quickly distinguish between a computer scientist who has been educated in things like matrix algebra and abstract algebra, algebra and all of these sorts, and someone who is simply a developer who's looking to put a website together, who's looking to get people online, who's looking to manage basic servers and front-end user experiences. And those are the kind of things I think that have not been communicated, at least at the institutional level. And so there is a kind of hesitancy for students and for teachers, and mainly teachers, because that's kind of the backbone of our whole program, to really kind of lay down some of their fears and be able to dive in a way that says, actually, this is so ubiquitous at this point that really most of the complex Zuckerbergian problems are being solved elsewhere, and at least in terms of consumers, have been solved in many areas, and we just need you to kind of augment, manage, and be familiar with what those things entail.
And a large push of yours, of course, is pushing curriculum into other schools and getting these skills to in front of students at a teen level. I was wondering, what about the adult level? Are you seeing any motion there as far as training or skill acquisition?
Yeah, there are. And I mean, I'm sure you're aware of this. You know, there's a massive push around the country for these kind of these supplementary coding camps or coding boot camps, right, where people are making mid-career shifts. They're coming out of manufacturing sectors, or they're coming out of, you know, losing jobs that have been more kind of traditionalist fields of work, and they're kind of coming out and figuring out, well, how do I make a pivot here? And that's what they're going into. I'm all for that, but not to the degree that I think it's the actual band-aid to the problem. And so for us to get in earlier is better for us. And our model is different than a code camp in the fact that we're not going to be charging somebody $400 for a weekend. What we're hoping to do is say that this is a continual learning experience over time in partnership with the education system that is looking to reinforce through private industry, through professionals who are working in the field, their real sense of what computer science looks like post kind of this theoretical academic sense of computer science.
Let me ask you a hypothetical. Let's say we get total buy-in for Code 10 from the federal, state, and local level. What is your wish list, and what do you see on your horizon for Code 10?
Wow. Great question. You know, my number one goal is to say, let's democratize it. And that's a kind of popular term, is the democratization of computer science, is to let people know this is not wholly a kind of white, upper middle class male discipline, but that it's something that can be diversified in a way that gives access. And so I guess if that is adopted, that goal will be solved. But secondarily to that, really, I think it would be a kind of moving beyond this kind of skills mania, you know, as kind of Bob Davis put it. And we move kind of to portable skills that are able to be used in a multitude of circumstances. And we're not just saying, here's the skills. We're not just playing down knowledge and building up skills, but really there's a kind of other holistic element that says, okay, you can do these things. You can manage these server logins. You can write an application that's going to solve a problem, which is part of what the competition that we offer provides. And so it's trying to say, let's not let skills just be disembedded from life and from learning and education. We want them to be kind of tied together. And so once we cover that skill basis, then the hope for me would be to kind of help to teach and guide people how that skill can be beneficial in a kind of civic or a kind of cultural or a kind of community capacity.
I love the approach. It's the difference between giving a man a fish and teaching a man to fish. And I think that it's a great approach. Caleb, the best of luck to you for sure and on Code 10. And I'd love to check in sometime next year just to see how things are going.
Thanks, Jason.
That was Caleb Fristo, managing partner of Code 10, a.k.a. Code TN, a.k.a. Code Tennessee. There's a link on Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio for more. Now, it's true that mid-level computer coding and computer software maintenance will not replace giant factories and mills for middle-class workers. But really, isn't any drop in a rapidly leaking bucket part of the solution? Coming up after the break, we take a look into the future. The future of hotel room experiences, artificial intelligence, and curated, if not coaxed, dreaming? I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please come on back.